McGill Daily of the Daily.
I'm McGill Daily.
Hi, I'm calling from the McGill Daily. Can I ask you some questions?
This is a little bit diplomatic.
News.
Can you design? Could I see you for a second?
We're going to cap this.
News, can you dummy?
Did that story come in yet?
Editorial's in 5 minutes.
McGill Daily.
Unfit to print.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Unfit to Print, coming to you on the last day of this semester. My name is Erin Hudson, and I'm a news editor at the McGill Daily, and I'll be your host for today. On this edition of Unfit, we have two great pieces. The first was recorded by Le Daily campus editor Anthony Lecassois on the morning of November 25th, as Occupy Montreal was evicted from Victoria Square, or what was known as La Place du Peuple. But the first piece that we will listen to was recorded by former Daily editor and current Labour beat reporter, Michael Lee Murphy. Mike wrote a story for the Daily's last print issue of this year on the strike vote for McGill's teaching assistants within the McGill Teaching Union, known also by the acronym AGSEM. We will now go to
With
Mike
regards
for
to
the
labor relations at McGill, the semester has been a bitter one, with non-academic staff walking the picket line and the administration going to the courts to push them further and further from the campus. AGSEM, the union representing teaching assistants, has gone on strike 3 times before, most recently in 2008 when TAs struck for higher wages, among other demands. The 2008 strike fell during the spring exam period and delayed the release of grades into the summer. The administration fired TAs from their other positions at the university. So on Thursday, November 24th, McGill's unionized teaching assistants met in a general assembly to vote on McGill's second offer after 9 months of negotiations. The TAs gathered in Leacock to hear the results.
Voting for the recommendation of the executive were 97 people, which represents 77.6% of those who voted. Voting against were 26, representing 20.8% of those who voted, and there were 2 spoiled ballots. So thank you all again for the quick process.
Before we leave, the chair of So I'd like to thank you for coming out to the meeting. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn this meeting today. Mona from Urban Planning, seconded by, yes?
Cheryl
from Chemistry. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, sorry, so... The new offer from McGill gives TAs a 7.3% pay increase across 3 years and paid training for new hires, but does not budge on the issue of increasing hours, which have been cut in recent years and was a central concern for some. I spoke to some rank-and-filers as they left the room after voting on the contract offer. The people you will hear have not yet heard the results of the vote.
Dominique Jacques, Atmospheric Science.
And what do you think of the contract proposal?
Well, I mentioned earlier that without a guaranteed number of hours, anything else was very little in terms of gains, so I'm not too happy about it.
I take it you voted against it?
I voted against it, yes.
Some people are saying that some departments are struggling with reduced hours more than other departments. I mean, in the case of atmospheric sciences, is it have hours been cut a lot?
A lot, yeah.
Do you make anything of the new, the one that came at the end of the contract, the new article saying, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was McGill makes a commitment
That's complete bullcrap. I mean, it's words that mean nothing.
My name is Justin Marlowe. I'm in biology.
And what do you think of the contract proposal?
I'm against the contract proposal. Unfortunately, we didn't get the full pay increase that we were demanding, which was 9%. We got 7.2%. And they tried to structure in a way that it wouldn't apply to the other union, so we're just getting compensated for the statutory holidays
right. Instead
of actually getting a proper pay increase that was reflecting, you know, inflation rate or cost of living increases, which is a bit unfortunate. We did get paid training, which I obviously was very happy about. But unfortunately, we didn't get any commitments about stabilization of TA hours. And
what do you make of the new article that says McGill will make every effort to recognize the, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. But then they'll say, due to our financial constraints, we were unable to. We must make cuts to the teaching budget because we need to obviously focus on research in order to get more grants. Or, you know, McGill has other priorities than teachings, which they can use to argue that they may not be able to fund it. So that's no guarantee. I mean, after we got our pay increases in the last bargaining agreement, they just cut our hours.
Right, right.
Savagely, and it's, our hours have not even gone back to that initial level. So we have no guarantee that the number of TA hours are going to stay the same or even go up. As you were saying, this is supposed to be an agreement for the future, but I remember that the future would be now.
I'm Cale Dixon in the Department of Mathematics.
So what do you think of the proposal here from Miguel?
I thought it was quite a good proposal. The paid training, which we were really looking for, and reasonable pay increases relative to the economic situation at Miguel.
A lot of people are saying, some people I've talked to are saying that they're worried about a continued decrease in hours, like there's no commitment from Miguel in terms of increased hours or TA ships. Do you have any thought on that? I don't know if your department is suffering that way.
Well, it's a very valid point, but it's something that we can't really expect to get a commitment from the university from. It's not a common thing that you see in TA unions and other universities. It's just something we have to live with for now, and maybe in the future we can get some progress on that, but for now it's not really an option, I don't think.
Lorona Lewis, President of the union. Now, Madam President, how do you feel about now? There are 26 votes against. Someone outside was telling me that they were upset about the fact that the pay increase comes in the form of recognition of statutory holidays, not a pure pay increase, you might call it. I mean, how would the leadership respond to that?
I think the leadership would respond that it was a ploy from the employer to present it in that way so that it doesn't appear that it is actually 3% increase in pay, simply to justify that they don't have any money when our analysis shows clearly that there is money to pay the people who work at McGill, and McGill has chosen not to pay so far. So basically, the bottom line is that there is an increase. That's the bottom line. It's presenting, the way you present your arguments or you frame it, the university can do it to suit, you know, their agenda, but we know that there was an increase.
What concrete impact do you think this will have on negotiations for invigilators and course lecturers going forward?
Well, we know that there is money. So obviously we're not going into this agreement buying any other negotiation with McGill, buying the argument that there is a deficit and there is no money. We know that there's money and we know that they can afford to pay us for what we're asking. So that is how it impacts on our negotiations. What we're asking for is very reasonable for invigilators, and the course lecturers are continuing their discussions. I'm not a course lecturer, I'm not part of the unit, so I don't have the liberty to talk about their demands, but in terms of invigilation, clearly the number of people employed and the money that we are asking for is very small compared to the overall surplus that McGill has.
Molly Alexander, an advisor to AGSEM from the parent union, and a veteran in the world of organized academic labor. Speaking with Molly Alexander, and you are the advisor from FINEC, the academic department of the CSN. What is the FINEC's reaction to? Marie Blais told me that in this sector, McGill is like Quebecois. What is the reaction from CSN tonight after this overwhelming yes vote?
We're really happy that TAs have been able to come to this agreement, considering that the history of McGill and bargaining has always been excessive need to go to conflict, need to go to strike to get anything. We feel that our arguments on the budget and the fact that they were hiding a lot of information on the budget played a key role in this negotiation, and we were able to show McGill that we were serious about our demands. So the FNEC was very happy to be able to support AGSEM in getting these achievements, and we think that McGill got the message that we were ready to take this even further if necessary. So we're very pleased and very happy for a McGill community that this agreement has been agreed upon.
The nearly three-month-long Munaka strike was clearly on the minds of many in the room. The strike had gotten increasingly acrimonious, as picketers were accused of threatening administration staff and even arrested on picket lines. We just heard the results of the vote. Are you happy about the outcome?
I'm very happy about this outcome. The reason I came out today, normally I'm fairly apathetic about student politics and that sort of thing, but the overall mood in my department is that people are happy with their TA ships and happy with the conditions they're under. And there just really isn't that much of an appetite for a strike at the moment. because seeing how well the negotiations between MUNACA and McGill are going, it doesn't appear that the university is giving much ground. The fact that they're giving any ground in terms of these wage increases and the fact that they're even acknowledging the importance of TAs, even if it's some very loose language in a statement, it's encouraging, and I don't really see what a strike would do in terms of changing any of what McGill brings to the offering table. So I'm happy with the outcome.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah.
My name is Mona Luxon. I'm from the School of Urban Planning.
Well, we've just heard the results. How do you feel about how the voting went down tonight?
I'm glad people were out to vote. I think that was really important. I personally was in favor of the strike, or at least pushing a little bit harder on the McGill administration, so I'm disappointed to see that people sort of accepted the first offer that was given. But I do think that it's encouraging to see that TAs are actually out and participating in the democratic process, and I think that's really important. And hopefully as this process goes forward over the next few years and the next rounds of negotiation, we'll see more TAs coming out and exercising their power as union members to really define the terms of debate.
Now, you're wearing a MUNACA pin. Someone I was speaking to earlier was saying that judging by the way that the MUNACA strike has been handled by the university, they didn't have much appetite for an AgSim strike this winter. How would you respond to that?
Interesting, because my appetite for a strike, so to speak, really comes from the way that the university has treated the MUNACA strike. And I feel that given the terms of the collective agreement that the university has proposed, I don't have any faith that they'll follow through in actually supporting an adequate number of TA hours. And so my vote for a strike, or at least to reject the collective agreement, was really based on the fact that the McGill administration has not proven themselves trustworthy in terms of safeguarding the interests of workers and the interests of students, which is really what we're about here.
What are your thoughts on the performance of the bargaining committee through this whole thing?
I think they've done a great job. I think that they have achieved tremendous gains, far beyond what I expected was possible. I just don't think that it's far enough, and I think that that's really on the McGill administration and not on the bargaining committee at all.
Invigilators, the people who administer exams, are also unionized through AgSim and have been negotiating their first contract since last March. They are seeking a raise that would bring the hourly rate of pay up to $15.25 from $10 an hour. The union says that the provincial average for invigilators is around $15.74 an hour. Last week, after months of stalled negotiations, AgSim executives asked members to vote on pressure tactics, including a possible strike. The vote was scheduled for tonight, Tuesday the 6th. Yesterday morning, however, McGill agreed to go into provincially supervised arbitration, which the union is claiming is a victory. Invigilators and teaching assistants are just two of the six employee groups across various unions that have been at the negotiating table this year at McGill.
So that was Michael Lee Murphy reporting from the AgSim TA bargaining unit strike vote, which took place on November 24th. The morning after the strike vote, Occupy Montreal was cleared out. News contributor Chantal D'Souza covered the story for The Daily, starting at 7 a.m. the morning of. The Daily campus editor, Anthony Lacassois, was also on site and recorded the following audio.
On est donc en direct du de la place du peuple, place Victoria. Les forces de l'ordre sont sur place. On a à peu près 5 véhicules de police qui ont fermé la circulation avec aux alentours un véhicule d'urgence santé. La presse est très nombreuse, les chaînes de télé, on a aussi la presse écrite et les radios. Pour l'instant, la police n'est pas entrée sur la place elle-même, ils ont juste fermé la circulation. Donc, les services de police sont en train d'installer une caméra pour filmer l'intervention.
Je sais pas jouer de la flûte. We're doing really good. The city's coming this morning. They're sending in a bunch of workers. They actually have a bunch of workers put on to literally come by and help us clean up. They're going to be coming in and taking a lot of the excess garbage of the people that have abandoned the place and left and gotten ready to go. And, you know, they don't want this park to be destroyed like we don't. We're leaving. We're taking all the ropes out of the trees. We're cleaning this whole place up. And they're allowing us to walk out of here with our held high, a song on our lips and joy in our heart. But we're leaving this place on good terms. We're actually going to be here Friday night. We're taking down a bunch of tents. They've given us the proper amount of time. We're being able to do this right on both sides.
So you're clearing the place, and then they're cleaning, and then you're coming back?
Here.
Okay. So you're coming back on Friday?
No, we're coming back. We're not leaving yet. Mm-hmm. They're allowing us to have our nights, our moments. We have our march. Come on down Saturday, 1 o'clock. We have a beautiful protest that's going to be happening and taking place. And we're literally being able to walk out of this place. We're taking down our tents. We're erecting some art. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Come on down and join us. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Okay, so you're not setting back the tents afterwards, are you?
Here?
Are you setting back the tents again once here? It's cleared?
What time of year, when, and why?
What do you mean?
I guess you'll see more later.
Okay.
We're going on to bigger, better, and more beautiful things. This whole thing is not over. It's not done, and it's not dead.
Okay. How are the negotiations with the police?
Sometimes tense, sometimes funny. Okay. But all in all, not a problem. There has been some rumors, there has been some dispelled beliefs, there has been people that have put one word out of context and made the whole thing like a doomsday scenario. When Tremblay was coming down with a piece of paper, it was the fact that he wanted to hand us our eviction. It wasn't he was going to. He didn't give us our eviction. We still have not gotten our 48-hour notice. Fact.
Do you think they will hand it to you anytime, or what is your feeling of their behavior in terms of the negotiations and everything?
Again, they don't want to come in. We don't want them to come in. We're walking out of here with our head held high and a song on our lips. Okay. What do I need to say more?
Ah, vous m'aidez à l'ambiance? Viens. Ah, il s'est fait un commis de police pour défaire une tente.
Ça départ. Attention. Par au feu.
Toutes les tentes sont recyclables.
These occupy forces. Now everybody finds some pretext. The last pretext of the Ville de Montréal is that there are sans-abri, homeless people around with problems of social problems. But these problems exist in the city of Montreal. So maybe the mayor should get out of his office because these problems exist in his town. If the presence of these problems is a motive to clear the place, maybe those who are in charge in the city, considering all the homelessness we see, all the social problems we see, they should leave office. They're responsible, aren't they, if we follow that logic?
Why did you feel it was important for you and Madame David to come to the site?
Because it's our stand since 10 years, you know. Québec solidaire exists because we began with the idea that it's enough with the reign of the 1%. What am I saying, 1%? It's the 1,000th of us, the most privileged at the top of the social and economical power, who are ruining our lives, how ruining our economy with all we see in Europe, which will gain, unfortunately, also which will come to us sooner or later, and who ruin the planet. If we want things to change, we have to listen to those who are gathered here under the tent. My English is very bad before 8 o'clock. Come back at 8 and it will be good.
What's the message that the protesters here have left, will have left after this is gone?
Well, I think what they say is that, you know, when the time of an idea has come, there is no way to get rid of it, to expulse it. And the idea has come to European people, as it has come to Latin American people, as it has come more and more among Quebec people who have risen up everywhere, that it's enough of this control of our democracies by a small corporate elite.
Thank you very much.
Est-ce que tu peux dire ton nom au micro?
Oui, Françoise David, je suis porte-parole de Québec solidaire.
Donc, est-ce que tu pourrais nous expliquer un peu pourquoi tu as décidé de venir aujourd'hui?
Bien, tout simplement parce qu'on a entendu dire que les indignés risquaient d'être expulsés. On a voulu leur dire qu'on était avec eux, qu'on les appuyait. C'est pas la première fois qu'on vient, d'ailleurs. On est venu à quelques reprises, Amir et moi. Leur combat, c'est notre combat. C'est celui pour la justice sociale, pour la réduction des écarts de richesse. Donc, on est avec eux.
Monsieur Tremblay a eu un certain nombre, via ses services ou directement, a eu un certain nombre de demandes vis-à-vis du mouvement par rapport à l'état du camp. Pourquoi, à votre avis, ils ont décidé aujourd'hui de faire cette expulsion?
Mais je pense qu'il y a un mouvement général dans les municipalités d'expulser les indignés. Et il y en a qui l'ont fait extrêmement brutalement. Je pense à New York, entre autres. Ici, la Ville de Montréal, bon, a voulu faire preuve de patience. Oui, ils leur ont demandé de faire toutes sortes de changements, mais dans l'ensemble, quand même, les relations ont été plutôt correctes. Et je pense que là, avec l'arrivée de la neige, avec l'arrivée des grands froids, la Ville estime que ça n'est plus possible, que là, il y a vraiment des problèmes de santé, de sécurité des gens. Moi, je pense que c'est ce qui explique, finalement, qu'on veuille qu'ils quittent. Je souhaite que ça se passe bien, dans le calme, pacifiquement. Je souhaite que les forces policières aient du respect pour les gens qui sont ici. Moi, j'ai parlé à plusieurs indignés qui m'ont dit pour plusieurs d'entre nous, on va quitter. D'autres vont peut-être résister un petit peu plus, mais tout ça va se faire pacifiquement. Et moi, je pense que c'est correct comme ça. Le combat continue. Le camping, c'est une chose, mais le combat, il est plus large que ça. Il peut se faire par d'autres moyens et on continue.
Est-ce que vous pensez que cette expulsion est politique?
Je ne le sais pas. Honnêtement, jusqu'à présent, M. Tremblay s'est plutôt bien comporté. Là, est-ce qu'il reçoit des pressions, peut-être, un peu de toutes parts, et il ne veut pas passer pour l'homme mou qui tolère n'importe quoi? Tout est possible, hein? Je ne sais pas.
Shame! 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 Shame!
So that was audio from the morning that Occupy Montreal ended, courtesy of Anthony. And that's all the time that we have for this edition of Unfit to Print. I'm Erin, and I've been your host. Thanks go to Michael E. Murphy, Anthony Lekasois, and all of those who were interviewed in their pieces. Thank you for listening, and see you in 2 weeks. Good luck with exams.